Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben, this fourth day of August, 2005. Glad you've joined us. Hopefully we'll help you think a little bit better today. And we want to go take a quick check of the weather, see how your day is going to be like as you're making your way out to work this morning.
Today at the airport, it's 72 and clear, and today it's partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, humid with highs in the mid-90s, north winds about 5 miles per hour, chance of rain 20%. Back to you, John.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks. And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. And this morning, we are going to try to cover several different news stories as well as talk about John Piper. Yesterday, Charles sent us an email about some of the things that John Piper has been preaching on. In fact, I just listened to John Piper directly off of his Desiring God Ministries website. Really problematic. I'm telling you, folks, he's preaching on Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. And it's precisely that kind of preaching and that kind of understanding of the scriptures that brings the church into the problematic situation where we are today. Here's just a taste of what some of the things he said. The root of the Declaration of Independence is, quote, man-centered deism of Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin. Man is supreme, ungodly, and it's against Romans 13. That's one thing he said. Another thing he said is that anarchy is worse than bad government. It's worse than bad government. You don't want to live under it. Well, it may be true that you don't want to live under it, but it's not worse than bad government. He's truly mistaken when it comes to that particular perspective. Well, at any rate, we have several things we want to talk about in the news otherwise. But remember, after the show today, there's also a special presentation. This is only going to be on August 4th and 5th, but we have we're going to have a special edition of Christian Worldview in Spanish from 9 to 9:30, maybe 9:45 on the 4th and the 5th of August. That's right after the show today and right after the show tomorrow. So be prepared if you're listening to the show, that you could tell someone else that might be a Spanish speaker to tune in today to Christian Worldview at 9 o'clock for a special show. Well, we have a couple of things that people have brought to my attention I thought we'd cover real quickly. Let me jump over to the news here real quick. You know, we have Britain on alert again. It shows pictures at Fox News of these guys walking around once again with some kind of submachine gun, riot gear and so forth, walking in groups of four, ready to attack any would-be terrorists that join the land there, apparently. We also have the South Korean scientists who successfully clone a dog. Seoul, South Korea, the pride of Korea, has struck again. Pioneer South Korean stem cell researcher Hwang Wook-suk and his research colleagues have succeeded in cloning a dog, a global first that extends the remarkable string of laboratory successes by the Seoul National University professor. Last year, Hwang's team created the first world's first cloned human embryos. They followed that May in creating the first embryonic stem cells that genetically match injured or sick patients. Well, that's an interesting piece for the Christian Worldview. What do we think about that? If you don't want to talk about stem cells or cloning, give us a call here at 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. We also have another teacher's sex tape case. This is not in a public school, although we're not surprised when they are in public schools, of course. We have Albany, New York. The Catholic school teacher accused of having sex with students as an alcoholic who may have plied teenage boys with liquor on school trips, according to authorities. Sandra Beth Geisel, who was recently hospitalized for alcohol dependency, was also arrested last December for a DUI, according to the official documents obtained in the New York Post. At the time, her blood alcohol level was 0.818, more than twice the legal limit, the documents show. The revelations came as Geisel, 42, finished one-day stint in jail after posting a $20,000 bail on charges he raped a 16-year-old boy during two alleged sexual trysts in May, trysts in Ray. One of the alcohol school's football field press box and the other at her home in the Albany suburb of Latham. The boy was a student at Christian Brothers Academy in Colony, New York, where Geisel is a volunteer teacher, where her own teenage son is a student. Well, this is sad to say that this happened, of course, but we have to report it like it is, I guess. What else can you do? Sad to see it happens in these kinds of schools as well as in others in the public school arena. And maybe that's one reason it's so widely reported, because they get too much bad press for the public school. They don't want to do that at some of these major media services. That would be a terrible thing, apparently. Well, here's an article out of called Government and Medicine section of the American Medical News from August 1st. It has a graph here, or actually just a map of the United States with different colors on the states, showing the state approaches to the idea of pressuring employers to provide health insurance for employees. This is a proactive policy of the state, forcing people who are in the healthcare business to provide health insurance. And sure enough, it's got all sorts of colored states. Now, guess what? The states that are still free, this should be really no surprise to us, they're free of regulation of this form, are South Carolina, North Carolina, Louisiana, Arkansas, most of the upper west states like Montana down through, say, Kansas, not including Utah and Colorado, however, have this legislation. Wisconsin and Michigan, surprisingly free of the regulation, as are Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky. But at any rate, for many of these, there are employer mandates out of the state for many states like New York, Boston, or Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and that's where the Free State Project is in New Hampshire with the Libertarians. That's a tough one there for them. As well as the state of Washington and New Jersey, all of these have requirements that the state forces employers to provide medical insurance for their employees. They also have other states that are colored in purple that are reporting public assistance. In other words, the government mandates that they report these kinds of things, and that's there's quite a few states ranging from Minnesota to California to Florida who have those requirements. And then there are still other states like Texas, Georgia, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Utah, and Maine, which have medical insurance as a condition of state benefits and contracts. So you can't get a state benefit or a contract unless you are, providing medical insurance for your employees. It's kind of a strong-arm tactic. The reporting of public assistance and condition of state benefits and contracts is a requirement in Texas and in Vermont, so they strong-arm you even further there. Then, there are states which have all of these requirements that I mentioned, the required mandates given to employers, reporting of public assistance, and as a condition for getting state benefits and contracts. That the worst states for government regulation of this sort of type. Guess where they are? Connecticut and Tennessee. We're kind of surprised about Tennessee around here. Wouldn't think that they would have gone over for this, but they apparently have. Those are the worst states in the union for these kinds of mandates. Second worst, I suppose, would be Washington State. They have a couple up there, and Texas. So, anyway, interesting news. Why do we want to force people to cover their employees with medical insurance? Let's think about this for a minute. Sounds nice, right? But you know, remember, when government mandates such things, employers do not take it out of their profits. They do not say, let's lower our profits this year, and we'll go ahead and just give our employees more benefits, like, you know, medical coverage. It doesn't work that way. It either bankrupts the company, or it forces prices to be higher one way, shape, or form, or wages that the employers can pay to employees to be lower. You can't get blood out of a turnip. There's only a few things that can possibly happen by forcing the employers to spend their profits or their money in a certain way, and you're going to have all sorts of distortions as a result of that in any kind of economic system. Now, most employers, large groups, will already imply medical have medical insurance for their employees. That's a given. But remember, folks, it's always about two to three times more expensive than individual coverage because it's a racket that the insurers have. You can get the same Blue Cross policy on yourself for about a third of the price that you can in the group. Why is that? Well, because the government has structured it through the lobbying of these companies that only group insurance is deductible by the employer pre-tax. You can't deduct a medical policy that's individual, and they know they can get away with more by charging more. That's a bottom-line racket for it. That's why it's so much more expensive. It's also not portable. It forces the employee who gets sick to stay with their employer forever. How else can they get their medical coverage? Unless they go work for another huge group somewhere that'll just take them. If you have an individual policy, you can move from one place to the other. It's far more liberating, if you can say, to have your own medical insurance than to have government forcing employers to buy group coverage for you. So there's some problems there economically. Also, from a Christian worldview, we don't like the idea of having any proactive policy and forcing people to behave a certain way through the means of the state. And so I thought that would bring an interesting item to bring up this morning as well on Christian Worldview. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to jump to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us. Sorry we've had some problems with our levels this morning. Hopefully they're fixed now, and we'll be heard correctly as we move along. We have a caller on the line. I believe it's Chuck. Welcome to the show, Chuck. Hang on, Chuck. We haven't got you on yet. Can you hear us now?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, great, Chuck. We weren't able to hear you on the air, so we apologize for that, but you're on now. What's on your mind today?
Well, great. Yeah, I enjoy your show, and I agree with you completely about this false economics of requiring employers to do things. Right up along with that, of course, is the if you mentioned it and I missed it, I apologize. But the employer share of Social Security, of course, is the same illusion that the employee really pays that. Ultimately,
that's a great point. Like Walter Williams used to say in microeconomics first class, as employers do not, and corporations do not pay taxes; they simply collect them. Their role is not to pay out of their profits your taxes; they simply collect them on behalf of the government. And so, what happens is, effectively, an employer looks at any employee as a package deal. That if he comes in, he's going to cost X amount of dollars. It may be $50,000 a year that's paid actually in salary. An additional 7.5%, which is, or roughly 7.65% that's paid for the so-called employer's share. They add that on, so add that 3,000 something on there. In addition to that, they add on any other benefits they might give you, and they get the whole package, which might come out to maybe $65,000. That's what they figure that you're going to cost them, and that's what they consider you as costing them to have you as an employee, not the $50,000, which is the naive view that some employees believe. It also indicates that if the government were not required, employer were not required to pay those benefits, that they would be indifferent between paying the employee cash for $65,000 and paying no Social Security for them and no medical insurance, or paying the $50,000 plus the benefits. It makes no difference to the employer. And when you look at it that way, you realize the employee is actually paying all the tax and all the benefit cost. And therefore, it's a very inefficient and costly system all the way around. Christians should be opposed to this. It's poor stewardship, at least, to have your funds confiscated in this way or spent this way on your behalf.
That's right. It is a good illustration, though, of the difference between a direct tax and an indirect tax. Something that a lot of people are not aware of.
Yeah, that's a good point. Why don't you elaborate on that a little bit?
Okay, a direct tax would be a tax that you can't escape. For example, the property tax on your house. The federal government does not have the right to put a tax like that on you without. Trying to think of the right word now. Essentially, it's going by the census and spreading it out evenly.
Apportionment.
Apportionment. Thank you.
That's right. Okay.
Whereas an indirect tax is taken from the person who is not really expected to pay it, but is merely going to pass it on.
Right. That's right. And so an indirect tax, an example of that might be a tariff, for instance.
That's right. And an indirect tax is legal to do without apportionment. And it's important to understand that apportionment is a very difficult thing to do. And because wealth is distributed very unevenly geographically in the country, Congress has not really liked the apportionment of direct taxes.
Well, it's very difficult.
It's difficult to collect. And it's very limited in how much revenue it can raise.
Yes, you're completely right. It is very difficult to collect that sort of tax because there are so many hurdles Congress has to go through to apportion and equalize that tax everywhere. The framers of our Constitution realized how difficult it would be for folks in Congress, and therefore they added that requirement, knowing that they would restrict or retard the growth of taxation. Of course, Congress does everything it can to get around the provisions in the Constitution. It same thing happened, this week with the CAFTA vote. The CAFTA, that's a Central American Free Trade Agreement, is a globalist socialist policy, and it is also a treaty. It is a treaty about trade, and only Congress is allowed to regulate treaties. But as Stephen Yates wonderfully points out in this week's Times Examiner article, that requires a two-thirds vote of Congress to approve. And by calling it an agreement instead, changing the name of this thing, they make it an agreement. You only need 50% plus one vote, and that's how they got that thing through. I think it's actually illegal what they've done, but you know, so are a lot of other things, I suppose, that the Congress and President have been doing lately.
Yeah, and a lot closer to home for most people is the income tax, of course, a direct tax that they like to pretend is an indirect tax. Mm-hmm. And so it's done without apportionment, and thus illegally.
Yeah, and there's some argument. Phil Hart has a pretty good job of discussing that in his book, Constitutional Income, Do You Have Any? I know, I think you said that you've read that book as well. And he demonstrates how indirect and direct tax work out. And certainly in the case of the income tax, the 16th Amendment did provide that privileged income could be treated slightly differently. It wouldn't have to be apportioned. But it's not the case with people's private earnings, and this was never the intention of this amendment, according to the Bruce Shaver case in 1916 and others that he points out in that book, that it's been applied that way incorrectly, or at least people believe that it applies that way to them incorrectly. But that's the extent, at any rate, of the error that people have fallen into.
Yeah, I got to hear Phil Hart speak one time. It was by video on a CD, but he's a good speaker, and he's apparently done his homework. He went to the National Archives and dug all that stuff up out of the congressional record.
Yeah,
but he knew exactly what the history was. I applaud his effort.
Right. Well, good. Well,
he does step outside of his expertise a little bit, but mostly it's good. And where he talks about history, he's great authority.
He sure is. Well, I'll tell you, I really appreciate reading the book. Well, I appreciate the call this morning, Chuck. We're about time to run to a break. Should you hold over for another break, or are you're on your way?
Yeah, got to get to work, so enjoy talking to you. Oh. We'll do it another time.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Chuck. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Cohn. I want to remind you about some of the Upstate's important events this week. Remember, we have local events starting today. Is the conference called Scientists Who Find Darwinism Unconvincing. This is going to feature 8 top scientists, in particular Michael Behe, John Campbell, Jonathan Wells, and Thomas Woodward. It's at the Palmetto Expo Center in Greenville. The cost is $145, or if you're a teacher or student, it's $115. If you register online and write CSG, that's for Creation Study Group, in the form, you'll get an additional $20 off. You can register for it at PiedmontTravel.com, or you can call 864-288-3456. That's 864-288-3456. Darwin is quoted as saying, "I am quite conscious that my speculations run beyond the bounds of true science." That's what Darwin said. And therefore, their whole conference is based on that premise, that Darwin merely was speculating and not doing science. So it should be an interesting thing to attend. If you get a chance to call, or you can attend, give a call to 864-288-3456. Also, check out tyrannyresponse.com. Tyrannyresponse.com has the events that are going on all during August. This week, the only events are the Carolina Patriots meeting and the Institute of the Constitution this Saturday. You can find out more about both of those things by simply going to the website and checking out the events tab for the Upstate. Lots of events into the following week. And I'll be gone, of course, the following week. You're going to have a special guest host, Pastor Tony Romo. And the following week, you're going to have guest host Greg Ferrier, who will be talking about creationism and some of the evidence for it. Right after we, of course, had this Uncommon Dissent Forum. So those should be 2 good shows. Remember, too, in the afternoon every day now, we have Rip and Richie and his Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse on the drive home, 4:30 to 6 p.m. You'll find that right here on the Tyranny Response Network. And don't forget, once again, that there we have a special edition of Christian Worldview at 9 o'clock to 9:30 or 9:45, both days, that's today and tomorrow, in Spanish. We're going to try to do it in Spanish and hope that there'll be some folks who will be able to tune in and listen and profit from that show in Spanish. So those are what's going on here at the Tyranny Response Network. We're glad that you've tuned in this morning. Let's try to cover one or two more stories before we go to the top of the hour. There is an article by Carl F. Worden called "It's No Different Than Adultery." Well, I did it. I changed my political party affiliation to Democrat on Monday, and on 8:15 a.m. on Tuesday, I announced on Medford's KMed Radio that I plan to run against Republican Representative Greg Walden for his seat in Congress. That's the way I do things. That may sound somewhat simplistic, since I must get the Oregon State Democrats to run me in their primary for Walden's district, but frankly, I don't see any good reason they wouldn't if they truly want Walden's seat. You see, Walden's district is a major red zone of conservative voters who, the Democrats run a liberal, even moderate Democrat candidate, will hold their nose and keep Walden employed even after he cheated on them with his CAFTA vote. But if a conservative Democrat with my philosophical credentials is run by the Democrats against Walden, I'll win his seat for the Democrats and for the local conservative base, hands down. What Oregon Representative Greg Walden did by voting for CAFTA was no different than adultery. An honest politician stays loyal to his or her constituents, just as a married man stays loyal to his wife in all things. An elected representative quite literally has a marriage contract with those she represents in Congress. We don't have to vote our representative in Congress stay loyal. We don't vote to have our representative in Congress stay loyal to his political party over our interests. when there is a conflict. It's his solemn duty as elected representative to always vote what his or her constituents want. And when CNN Lou Dobbs runs a poll, 94% of the reporters want canceled or rejected. That representative had better vote his wishes, or else, yes, they're going to suffer. And I appreciate that. That article happened the same in Oregon as it's happened here. Of course, we had sellouts like Bob Inglis and Jim DeMint voting for CAFTA here in South Carolina. And so hopefully they'll be remembered when they come up for re-election. Jim DeMint has the benefit of it being like 5 years away. Inglis, however, is going to be running just in the following fall. He was elected last November, so it should be a year from this November that the election is for Inglis again, so we can remember him more easily and boot him out of there. And I hope they boot out this fellow out in Oregon as well. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more great talk radio.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We want to check on your weather this morning to see what the weather is like in the upstate of South Carolina. If you're just making your way out to work today, and we'll go ahead and check right now. We're just getting to the weather here. Hang on a second, folks.
Today at the airport, it's going to be 74 and clear. Greenville downtown is 76 and clear. If you're in Anderson, it's 73 degrees and clear, too. And Clemson's also 73 degrees and clear. Today, it's going to be partly cloudy with patchy fog this morning, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, humid with highs in the mid-90s. North winds about 5 miles per hour, chance of rain 20%.
And we have here a very interesting article sent up by the Tyranny Response Network staff called The Gun Control's Nazi Connection. This is interesting. This is from Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership Incorporated in Hartford, Wisconsin. Gun Control's Nazi Connection. Startling evidence suggests that Gun Control Act of 1968 was lifted almost in its entirety from Nazi legislation. This is by the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership again. It's called Gun Control, Gateway to Tyranny, the Nazi Weapons Law, 18 March of 1938. Original text and translation with an analysis that shows the U.S. gun control laws have Nazi roots by Jay Simkin and Aaron Zellman. This is an interesting book, looks like. Are you tired of giving hard-earned bucks to efforts that have at best only slowed the gun grabber's push towards firearms, registration, and confiscation? If you had enough of death by a thousand cuts, you are ready to take action to wipe out gun control now. The likely culprit is a former senator, now deceased. We have documentary proof, see below, that he and the original text of the Nazi weapons law in his possession 4 months before the bill that became GCA 68 was signed into law. The parallels between the Nazi law and GCA 68 will leap at you from the page. Thousands of Americans died or were wounded in the war to wipe out the Nazis. They did not suffer or die so that Hitler's ideas could live on in America and kill more Americans. Remember Killeen, Texas, the 23 who died in Luby's cafeteria were there died because they obeyed Nazi-inspired gun control laws. The law forced them unarmed to face an armed madman. Hitler's last legacy, perhaps. It tells the state to let people alone. That's what we want. That's what the 14th Amendment and the Second Amendment are all about here, folks, the book says. Well, it's an interesting book, looks like. I hadn't thought that there would be such a strong connection, but evidently there's a strong connection between the gun control of Nazis and the gun control that we had starting here in America in 1968. Well, we had a very interesting event happen yesterday as I began. I got a email from Charles. Charles lives up in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he's a faithful supporter of the Tyranny Response Network and the Christian Worldview program. And he sent an email just letting me know that John Piper was embarking on a series on Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. It's a four-part series. Three of them, I'm not sure why only three of them, but three of them are available on the internet. And so I began to analyze this stuff, and I then sent out this email to our group, which I'll then I got some responses to. I've been listening to this evening to revitalize Divine Right of Kings advocate John Piper attempt to preach on Romans 13, 1 through 7. Do you want to know why getting the theology of public policy right is so important? Do you want to know why so many well-meaning Christians do not engage their culture? Just listen to Piper. Along with the standard Divine Right of Kings fare, some of the ignorant and silly claims Piper makes are, 1, the root of the Declaration of Independence was, quote, man-centered deism of Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, who were clearly unbelievers and their doctrine ran contrary to the Romans 13, and then read the Declaration to prove that America's founding was antithetical to the Bible. Back again. Anarchy is worse than bad government. That's what he says. Quote, unquote, anarchy is worse than bad government, and you don't want to live under it. Without evidence, he said that anarchy breeds mob activity and vigilantism, and thus gives occasion for the rise of totalitarianism. He also said, quote, democracy is the best form of government, unquote, because it minimizes totalitarian tyranny. Now here's a couple comments. I actually wrote down 10 critiques of this whole thing. I'm just going to give you a couple comments on this, and we'll come back to this again after our next break. First of all, the Declaration of Independence was not a man-centered document or based on man-centered deism. The Declaration, it's very possible that Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin were closer to Christian faith and thought Christians outright than Piper's giving them credit for. All I'll say is that Benjamin Franklin had nothing to do with writing the Declaration that we know of, that was real, at least as far as I know. It was purely Thomas Jefferson. And Thomas Jefferson had some theological problems, without any question, but they still imbibed, in many ways, the Christian worldview, the need for law, as set forth in the Old Testament. And what they were doing is setting forth principles for social cooperation that allowed the greatest amount of peace. When you are supposed to be, as a Christian, a peacemaker in the world, one who pursues peace with all men, then you need to support the right to private property, the right to individual liberty, and the rights of life of every human being. If you don't do that, you end up with chaos, misery, poverty, socialism, all sorts of other bad things that occur. Those are tyrannical events that transpire when we live under states. If we take a non-activist view, a passive view of the state, and we just let the world go to hell in a handbasket, so to speak, then yeah, we can say, well, let's just have a king and let it get really bad and so forth, and we'll live with it. But the American founders, who were Christians, and the other Christians who supported the American Revolution, as it's called, were supporting the ideal that the Christian worldview can transform politics and public policy. We can do something more than just sit sit down and not do anything. We can do more than that, and that's what they were pointing out. Now, we're a little bit late for a break, so we're gonna jump to a break here, and then when we come back, we'll discuss some more of Piper's claims. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading the liberal columnist, read the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full-year subscription is only $25, and $27 if you're out of state. You can just call 864-268-0576 and ask for Bob or Laverl, and they'll set you up with a subscription. That's 864-268-0576. If you're interested in placing an ad in the Times Examiner, they would be very appreciative of that, and you should support this great cause, this great paper that promotes the truth. And it's very inexpensive to do so. Just give David a call, ask for him specifically, and call 864-859-6817. 864-859-6817 if you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner. Well, we've been talking about John Piper and his particular views, unique views on Romans 13, very confused as he stumbled through the passage. He also said anarchy is worse than bad government and you don't want to live under it. Without evidence, he said that anarchy breeds mob activity and vigilantism, as well as, or thus gives occasion to the rise of totalitarianism. This is certainly historically false, and theoretically doesn't make any sense. Because if we live under anarchy, we're not necessarily talking about the commonplace use of that word in movies, where it means like chaos. We're just talking about the absence of the state, much as there was no state in the book for many years. During the book of Judges, there was no judge, there was nothing. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And I don't think that means necessarily negatively. They just did things without having someone telling them what to do. No king, no authority, and so forth. But be that as it may, there were periods in history where we find that there was no state. There was simply an absence of the state. The law still existed, obviously, because law is not created by states. The law comes from God. And so we had law. There was order in society. There were rules. There were ways that judgment was being made as the rulers set up by Moses and later by Joshua continued on in some sort of progression throughout history. But at any rate, during this period, we did not find chaos reigning. We did not find what Piper says, mob activity, vigilantism, and to the extent that you did have crime, it was paled in comparison to the kinds of mob activity and vigilantism that occurs under states. Just look at how much evil was done in the book of Judges, and you'll say, yeah, that's pretty evil, especially when they went into idolatry and so forth. But then compare that with how much evil they did in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, especially 2 Kings. Under King David and Solomon and Judah, some of the kings of Judah later on, you did have relatively good times in the theocracy. There's no question about that. But when you have an evil guy like Ahab or Jeroboam, or you have Manasseh, these men promoted far more evil because it was of a centralized variety and could be spread so much more effectively than you ever could under anarchy. So although we're not anarchists, certainly here at Christian Worldview, we believe a constitutional republic is the best thing, I would advocate and suggest to you that anarchy is the second best thing. If we can't have a constitutional republic or some kind of plutocracy or whatever there, where we can actually have rulership of a country invested in those who own property or who actually have the stewardship responsibility for defense and the greatest need for defense, or like the best thing I think is the constitutional republic we had in the vision of the founders. If we can't have that, then it's a whole lot better to have anarchy than it is to have Stalin or to have Pol Pot or to have a Hitler. It's a whole lot better. In fact, I'd say even anarchy is better than having the George Bush regime that we have today, believe it or not. Why? Well, under anarchy, what do you have? You have the need for self-defense. You have a need for being able to carry on your own weapons and so forth, and everybody would be armed. It'd be a lot more of a hassle because you'd have no state to turn to or no government to turn to help protect you. And so society would be very different. But it'd be that much more difficult for a totalitarian leader to come up out of anarchy. Totalitarians rise up out of socialism after people have been disarmed, after people have been begging the state to give them security so they wouldn't have to go through the uncertainties of life and reliance upon God alone. That's when totalitarian rises. It doesn't rise out of anarchy. It rises out of the rubble of socialism and leftist policy. So the idea that Piper has about anarchy is just flat out wrong. It's mistaken both theoretically and it's mistaken historically, not just because of the Book of Judges, but in many other cases we can talk about, Iceland or Novigrad and in what's now Russia, where they had kind of anarchic states, or Iceland, compared to the socialist states of Bismarck on from the 19th century on. So, at any rate, he's vastly mistaken there. He's also mistaken when he says democracy is the best form of government because it minimizes totalitarian tyranny. No, democracy, he's confused again. It's not the, we don't live in a democracy, at least we should, we not, technically don't. Yeah, we live in a constitutional republic. A democracy where everybody has a vote is like James Bovard says, it's like this, two wolves and a sheep discussing what they're going to have for dinner tonight. That's what democracy is. You have effectively the poor people being able to vote in policies that will give them the treasury, give them the pockets and the purse, or so to speak, of the rich people. You have complete chaos and war as democracy reigns. So democracy brings more totalitarianism far more, and insecurity, I should say, far more than a constitutional republic would, and certainly far more than anarchy would. Democracy has never been a stable form of government from Athens on. As soon as you get it out of the very minor city-state level, I'm sure it might have worked, a few places like that. I mean, even socialism might be able to work when there's only 50 people in the town. But I'm not even sure that's the case. But at any rate, Walter Williams used to say socialism works as long as you know everybody's name. As soon as you lack that much information, it all comes down and the house of cards falls. But be that whether it works or doesn't work with 50 people, it certainly does not work when you have a large nation like we have today. Democracy will not breed the benefits that John Piper hopes, and he made a big blunder by stepping into that muck. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've got a quick break, and then we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you don't have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you, concerned about the republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road, between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. We're going to take a pause here because we have a caller on the line, and we want to let them know we're listening. Welcome to Christian Worldview. You're listening to, this is Dr. John Coben. What's on your mind? Well, we think we have a caller on the line. Ah, looks like she's hung up. Well, okay. It looks like we have the caller ID says Carol. Carol, if you're listening, we're sorry we didn't, we must have pressed the wrong button. Go ahead and call back and we'll get you on the air. Our business meeting is 6:30 p.m. on the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Yes, and indeed, we're talking about John Piper and his particular views. Of course, John Piper, a lot of the things he preaches about are great. We don't mean to put the man down in any way, shape, or form in general. Although he's been criticized for his view on justification by faith, and we certainly are criticizing him today in his view, criticizing his view, I should say, of Romans chapter 13. It is simply fallacious. Now, he stumbled all over himself, and admittedly, to his credit,
said, look, I am really having a hard time dealing with this passage because I'm looking at this passage and I'm seeing the government does not act the way it says it's supposed to here, but somehow it must be the case, and I'm going to go ahead and err on the side of submitting to the evil state, and never should we be involved with revolution rebellion. He saw it very antithetical, the idea of the Declaration of Independence and the forming of our nation with Christian principles. And so at any rate, Piper was stumbling all over himself and confused back and forth, as most divine writers get. And I have a very long email I wrote, and I started reading some of that. I think we'll probably not read all of that here on the air. Just to let you know that there were a lot of people who were encouraged by it, especially those who received the email and then were able to spread it to others. They've been writing to John Piper, suggesting that they go to either the tyrannyresponse.com website, look at the audio files where we have the series on public policy theology that I've been promoting and doing, and also there's a good section of it located at libertarianchristians.org. It's an 8-part series so far on public policy theology, and they're hoping that John Piper will listen to that series. It's very different than what he's been preaching, and hopefully will clear up a lot of the misunderstandings that he has. We've had a few other comments coming from listeners about what I sent out. For instance, Greg emailed and said, "Thanks for the review." That's a pretty simple response, and we appreciate Greg saying that, letting us know that. We had a few others. For instance, Corey Burnell wrote in to let the show, and he said, "I appreciate your interest in forwarding the message to me." He wanted to let me know, yeah, if I was in his service, that is, the service that John Piper was preaching. Corey Burnell says, and Corey Burnell's from Christian Exodus, he said, I would have had to leave because I can only take about 5 minutes of listening to this pure junk. Ha ha ha. After 5 minutes of garbage, I move on to something else. How do you subject yourself to listening to that junk? Well, that's a good question, Corey, but hey, I also read Marxists at times and other pagans and so forth because, part of what I do as an academic and my academic work is to read the other side and be able to offer a critique of it from a Christian worldview point of view. And it was really bad what John Piper had to say. Not saying that John Piper says all things are, everything that he says is bad. And you understand me here, folks. I'm just saying that he made a mistake on this one big time. Also got an email from Paul saying thanks for sending the Piper stuff, and appreciate Paul saying that. Charles sent an email. He said, "I sent your website to Piper." That's the one I mentioned from libertarianchristians.org, the public policy course. He says, "I understand your commentary on Piper below. I feel the same way. I hope he will pay a visit to the site. I'm getting started on a Bible study soon. I'm going to send people to your website while I touch on God and politics. I was wondering how he, Piper, gets around Jesus wiping people out of the temple, the money changers, etc." And that's a good question. Well, Jesus was not afraid of confronting authority when necessary. And what happens when you have a static view of public policy based only on basically a naive interpretation of Romans 13, you end up with a divine right principle. The revitalized divine right of kings view that Piper is advocating is popular today, yet is completely fallacious and based on all sorts of assertions and assumptions or presuppositions that are not in the scripture and not even supportable in history. So at any rate, appreciate all those comments about the Piper stuff. We're going to go to a break now. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to have a quick check of your weather this morning if you're still on your way, making your way out to work this morning. Before you get to your cubicle, you should know this weather's in store for you.
At the airport, it's 73 and clear. At Greenville downtown, it's also 76 and clear. Anderson is 75 and clear today. Clemson is 73 and clear today. Your weather forecast today is partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid with highs in the mid-90s. North winds about 9 miles per hour. Chance of rain is 20%.
Thanks a lot for that weather report. We appreciate the support of our great volunteer production staff here at the Tyranny Response Network. And want to remind you folks, too, we're looking for more volunteers, people who can give a few hours a week for technical jobs, even production jobs here at the Tyranny Response Network. If you're interested in helping out, give Chuck a call at 864-458-1981, 458-1981, or you can just go to the TRN website, tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net, and scroll down under the Contacts tab and click anybody's name there that you find other than mine. I'm probably the least one that you want to talk to, but I will forward it if you do send it to me, and we'll get you right in touch with the people who can put you to work for this great effort and this great cause. Remember, too, this afternoon, for the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse with Rip and Richie's from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Support TRN by just listening to the show and on your way home from work today. Should be another exciting time with Rip and Richie's new show there. And remember, too, right after this show, we have a version of Christian Worldview in Spanish. So stay tuned. If you speak Spanish or if you know somebody who does speak Spanish, let them know about the 9 to 9:45 slot, which today and tomorrow we'll be having a special edition of Christian Worldview in Spanish. The Libertarian Party, the party of principle, sent out an email that says, 14 Marines killed in Iraq as President Bush vacations. Is he really goofing off on the ranch? I think a better anti-war case complaint should have been made here than it is. Does Bush administration take its job seriously? On Wednesday, 14 Marines deployed in Iraq from Ohio were killed when their armored vehicle was hit by a roadside bomb. The attack is one of the deadliest to take place in Iraq. Days earlier, six Marines from the same unit were killed in a firefight near Haditha. Meanwhile, Republican President George W. Bush set out yesterday to begin his five-week vacation in Crawford, Texas. The planned vacation will be the longest presidential getaway in 36 years. Richard Nixon spent over a month in the San Clemente estate in 1969. Well, good for Bush. He can go on vacation. I guess we'll be a little bit safer while he's away. That's nice. And of course, none of us, you need to disabuse yourself of the fact that Bush really cares about troops or anything like that other than his own power, what the troops can bring for him there in Iraq. He's not concerned about other folks. I mean, I hope you didn't believe that. Here's another one about eminent domain we got from the Tyranny Response Network research staff. This is from Reverend R.J. Rushdooney, reprinted in The Politics of Guilt and Pity, 1995. The doctrine of eminent domain is a basic but unexamined concept of civilization, an idea assumed without a question by most people as a necessary evil. A simple definition is an order by way of introduction, and the second edition of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary provides a convenient one. Eminent domain is that superior dominion of the sovereign power over all the property within the state which authorizes it to appropriate all or any part thereof of a necessary public use, reasonable compensation being made. Rushdooney says, eminent domain is thus an attribute of ultimate sovereignty and therefore is an attribute of divinity. According to the Bible, the earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24:1, and he therefore has total dominion over it. Because the earth is the Lord's, God requires the whole world to submit to his law and regards all things as subject to total control, confiscation, or regulation by his sovereign power and word. So, how can we have the state involved then, in other words? For the state to claim the right of eminent domain is therefore a claim to a divine right. The state is claiming eminent domain is simply asserting sovereign power over the property of a state. To cite Webster again, in compensation for seized property is an incident to, but not an essential part of the right of eminent domain. And today, in the average American city, there are about 50 agencies that have the power to confiscate land. The right of eminent domain, then, is a divine right and power. In terms of this presupposition, private ownership is seen as hostile to the common good, whereas state ownership advances the public welfare. With this philosophy, total confiscation is simply a question of time. The right of eminent domain, therefore, by associating a necessary common use or good with the state, makes the state into a benevolent god whose control and ownership are necessary to the welfare of man. It is impossible to understand the Bible apart from its assertion of God's sole eminent domain over every realm. The cleansing of the temple by Jesus, both at the beginning and the end of his ministry, was an assertion of his eminent domain over the church. His condemnation of Jerusalem, Matthew 24:1, his declaration the kingdom of God was taken from Israel and given to another, Matthew 21:43, his assertion of divine kingship before the Sanhedrin, Matthew 26:64, and his declaration of kingship before Pilate, John 18:33-37, were all assertions of eminent domain over the state, whether in Judea or Rome. His triumphal entry into Jerusalem was begun with an act of eminent domain and confiscation. Disciples were sent into a neighboring village to get a colt. There was no promise of payment or return. They were merely to assert the Lord hath need of him. Luke 19:28-48. Wow, that's an interesting interpretation, isn't it? He blasted the fig tree, or Israel, later in the week, asserting his eminent domain over both nature and the state. The vineyard of the kingdom of God was his to bestow, and man's life was his to bless or to destroy. Luke 22:9-16. Sovereignty and eminent domain are inescapable concepts. Denied to God, they will accrue to men. Today, Caesar is taking the sovereignty of men, will not allow to God. Sovereignty is supremacy and rule and power, and eminent domain is an aspect of sovereignty. Sovereignty cannot be avoided. It will either be reserved to God or will accrue to men. With the anarchist, sovereignty is reserved to the individual man. With the statist, it is reserved to the state. In either case, it is tyranny. And so, anyway, we appreciate Rush Dooney's comments here. Let me jump down a little bit further when he talks about, I think he's quoting John Dewey here. It's such a dim, blind, and effective way the American people is conscious that its schools serve the best cause of religion in serving the cause of social unification, that under certain conditions schools are more religious in substance than in promise, without any of the conventional badges and machinery of religious instruction, that they could be in cultivating these forms at the expense of state consciousness. For Dewey, the state consciousness was the new form of God consciousness. For them, sovereignty was the attribute of God, not the state, or should have been for them. The return to the concept of the state sovereignty is thus a rejection of the American heritage as well as of the triune God himself. Great comments from Rush Dooney. This was 10 years ago that he wrote this about eminent domain and the problems of eminent domain, of course, especially when it's taken to promote the public education system and its problems. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to jump to one more break, and we're going to skip one of our breaks. And stay tuned, because we're going to play the Bill of Rights here. We've been trying to play the Bill of Rights every time. It's going to be a little bit of a long break, but we need to remind ourselves of the Bill of Rights. Watch out for the Fifth Amendment when it talks about eminent domain and the problem that caused, and it has caused with Kelo and so forth. Think about that and consider the Bill of Rights again, folks, because these are the last vestiges of hope we have as America, as free Americans here in our nation. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview, the final segment before we switch over to Spanish at the top of the hour. We are talking today about a number of different things, and had a couple callers, and appreciate you guys supporting the show. Appreciate all the encouraging calls we do get in emails to the show and the number of people who are listening. It's good to know that the message is going forward, especially when we have such a huge battle ahead of us, as we have so many people in the church now violently opposed to the founding principles of this country in their preaching, like John Piper has been, and he's not the only one. There are many others out there as well who would be so opposed because of a faulty understanding of Romans 13, the false interpretation that they've adopted, and some of the presuppositions about things like esoteric things like anarchy, for instance, as we talked about earlier on the show today. One of the other things that they're also mistaken about quite often is the public school system. And some people wonder, well, Dr. Coben, you're really hard on people when you talk about it just being sinful, sending your kids to the public school. Well, folks, I don't know. We're supposed to speak the truth in love, but that does not mean that we go about and say, look, I see somebody sinning over there and doing something that I think is violently opposed to God's word, and therefore I'm going to be, you know, just not, you know, break the news to them. What it means is you have a loving attitude. It means that you want to go forth and speak to somebody in hopes of restoring them and showing them the truth. It doesn't ever mean you're harsh or rude with people or unkind, and forgive me if I've been unkind to anyone. I don't know that I have been, but I don't mean to be unkind when I say things like the public school is an evil institution. If you send your kids there, you participated in it, you are sinning. I am simply pointing out the fact that you are doing something that's wrong, violating God's word, by sending your kids there. And I don't know how else to say that, and not trying to hurt your feelings. Just want to point out something that you may not realize or may not know. Why? Because so many preachers today are saying exactly the opposite. In fact, one of our staff members sent me a notice about a conversation he was having with his own pastoral staff, talking about their justification for why they would even have their own children in public schools. And they go through all sorts of mealy-mouthed, wavering arguments trying to show, yes, we have, you know, hardship, and we've considered the variables very carefully, and we decided it's best for our kids to go into the public school. You know, there are all sorts of excuses people will give for sin. You know, you can imagine what it's like having a bad marriage. Let's say you have you're a man married to a woman who is really, really, you know, not fulfilling her duties as a wife. And won't go into specific details there, but she's definitely not doing that, and she's causing all sorts of grief for her husband. And then the husband says, "Well, then I accidentally fell into the viewing of pornography because, you know, I've been having so much trouble with my wife. She's been doing these other things, and we listen to his story and we become very sympathetic. We think this is an awful thing. It's terrible what his wife is doing to him, and it's a wrong thing that's happening. It's a travesty. It's shameful. But then we don't go ahead and say, oh, well, you know, we understand. You know, you need to be able to view pornography. So, you know, it's all right. In your case, it's not sinful. No, we don't do that, do we? I mean, we can't do that. If it's sin, it's sin. Now, what it does make us is empathetic towards this situation. We can say there are mitigating circumstances involved in the case that make it less egregious. It's not just a go out and be a blatant wicked sinner without any regard to, you know, the law of God. It's this man is being pushed this way because of the actions of others. Doesn't justify what he's doing. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not justifying what he's doing. I'm just saying there are some mitigating circumstances here that make us think a little bit differently about the sin. The Proverbs also tell us that that men do not despise a thief when he steals to feed his hungry soul. In other words, we look at people who are thieves differently when they are just robbers who go forth to plunder people who are not starving, as opposed to a robber who goes out because he's starving. If he needs to, you know, break into your refrigerator because he's about to die of hunger, we look differently upon that thief than we would upon, you know, a common bank robber, for instance, or somebody who breaks into your home in the middle of the night to steal your jewelry. We do. It doesn't mean that either one under the actions is less sinful than the other. They're both wrong. Stealing is wrong in both cases. Pornography is wrong in both cases. The public school is wrong in both cases. Doesn't matter if you have a hard life that your husband left you and you've got a single mom with a kid at home and you have no choice, you think. No, it doesn't give you the right to sin. We understand the hardship. We're empathetic. We love you. We're concerned about the horrible things that you must have to go through in life. But those consequences do not justify a sinful action. And that's the whole point here, folks. You can always make up excuses for sin. And we all do it. I'm not saying I'm immune from it any more than anybody else. We all make up excuses for sinning, but it doesn't make it any less sinful. And I was reading through some of the letters and so forth that were given to one friend of mine from his pastor, talking about his reasons for going into the public school and criticizing this great article that we read. Remember the socialist public school article we read from Nancy Levine, one of the best articles I've ever seen. She says right in the beginning, that, you know, she doesn't even think you're qualified as a parent if you would send your kids to the public school. You're just disqualified. It was a great comment anyway. So I just wanted to clarify that note. Some people have been asking questions about the strong stance I've taken on public schooling. Look, if you're involved with any other sin, I would say the same thing to you. In love, look, brother, sister, you're doing something that's wrong here. You need to correct your path. You may not realize it's wrong. Other people have told you it's not wrong, but despite that philosophy that other people have given you, it is wrong, and you need to repent, and you need to move on. It's not a matter of condemnation and judgment or something you can't change. It's a matter of recognizing something that's wrong in your life and making a step in the right direction. Don't listen to the Tony Beams of the world, the neocons who would lead you astray on this, folks. You need to go forward in righteousness. Our enemy is the public school. It is what is tearing down this country and the faith of our great land and our churches, and we need to oppose it to our dying breath. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview. Glad you did. Glad you joined us today. And we look forward to having you back for the final edition this week before I go out of town. And stay tuned for the special edition of Christian Worldview in Spanish coming up after the long break. And we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.